This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the CUES Symposium in the year 2023. And we are on the lovely island of Maui. And look who we have in the studio lounge, some fine folks from the credit union industry. Look at this motley crew here. And I say that with all respect.
Yes. We'll take it willingly.
Well, right in the middle, two ladies first, Jen Adabo from yes. Engage FI.
Thank you.
You are welcome. How are you?
Doing great.
I remembered.
I'm in Hawaii.
Yeah, how can you not be great out here?
It's
yeah,
beautiful.
For sure. And then Andres Pasantes.
Oh, I love the way you do that.
The name just wears off
the tongue. Never gets old.
I know. Takes me back to my Spanish classes in high school. So good stuff. And then last but not least, Mr. Oh my gosh, where am I? Oh my gosh.
Matt McCombs.
Matt McCombs. There you are. I apologize. This iPad thing. This technology is overrated.
Speaking of technology.
Yes. Yes, where did I go? Here, Matt McCombs, I apologize. Oh my gosh, Matt, I'm so sorry. From Vibrant.
It's all right.
No, you're not. You're right here. I promise. Vibrant Credit Union. My bad. So how are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Good. And my first question I'm kind of asking everybody is, how's the conference going? Any takeaways, anything like that? Matt, you want to go first?
Yeah, it's been great. I think especially after coming off COVID for a few years, last year being back at it was great just to get back around everyone in the industry and sort of see that. It's been a lot of fun. The material this year, it seems like they've really done a good job of how they've intertwined the speakers.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And pardon the freight trains going back and forth. They're fine folks here at this hotel are doing their job. So
yes.
They got to do their job.
That's right.
It's all right. And Jen, how's the conference going for you?
It's been great. I mean, we have seen so many of our clients here and just, to Matt's point, reconnecting and not having to get on a plane to go see everybody. I mean, it was a long plane ride for us.
Yeah,
but,
yeah I know, East Coast.
It's our first time here, and it's been amazing.
Just oh, wow.
To connect, so.
First time you've been to the symposium?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now it will be an annual thing
yes,
for
it will
us.
Be.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorites for sure. So, yeah, Andres,
I'll tell you what, 400 plus people here. The group itself is just such a unique, diverse group of CEOs. For us, get everybody in one full suite, see everybody in one full stop.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And I love the CEO board chair dynamic, and you get to talk to those and how they work together and the challenges that they experience, the successes that they experience, and how they keep that momentum going.
So, we should have pulled in Matt's chair and actually
we can expand another one. Yeah, exactly.
He's sitting in the negotiations class and he runs a car dealership, so it might be something that he's
teaching. He might be teaching it, exactly. Hang on a second, guys. Let me show you how it's done. So, all right. Hey, the topic at hand here is going to be the importance of strategic partnerships and outside-in perspective to stay ahead of the technology investment curve. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Staying ahead is like the end-all, be-all task when it comes to technology, right?
Yeah, and Matt and I were just having a conversation, too, on getting prepared and thinking of what's going to happen in the next 5 years, where do you make your investments?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
How do you diversify your service offering so that you're not beholden to maybe legacy systems, legacy products?
Mm-hmm.
So, Vibrant, Matt's doing a great job at Vibrant as far as thinking outside the box. You want to share some of your
stuff? Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, one of the things that we've tried to figure out the last few years is where's this industry going?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the theme that we keep coming back to is there's this disintermediation happening where 25 years ago, the value of community financial was come to one place, we make your life easy across the spectrum of products.
Yeah.
Today, the consumer, based on technology, can have 35 relationships
with no issues, no
problems.
Yeah.
And so we can't be everything to everyone anymore. So how do you start to bring that back down?
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at it a little bit different of how do you start to engage your member in the front end in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
So a year and a half ago, we started a QSO where we created a full-service coffee house and restaurant as how do we change the front end interactions.
What?
So you think about how do you actually get folks walking through it? Today, we've got about 300 people a day that walk into our restaurant, mm-hmm. two-thirds of which are existing members of the credit union.
Are you kidding me?
Lead source and where we're getting things from. We're in the process of building out an app that's a little bit like the Starbucks app.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
do we make it easy for you to be able to go from a coffee house customer right
oh,
into
like
a member
that. Yeah.
and
yeah.
be able to kind of transition.
Yeah. So can you order your coffee from the parking lot and
so,
have it ready by the time
yeah.
you walk in?
Yeah, so
that's
there,
the
is
thing.
A, there is a yeah, point-of-sale system that we're utilizing
really?
From there.
That's
and
cool.
How you can navigate. Yeah, so it's been a really unique way in which I can engage folks on the front end that you know you can take technology and use it as kind of that link between two traditional
mm-hmm,
businesses,
mm-hmm.
right? A restaurant's not new.
Right.
Banking's not new.
Right.
But can we take technology
bring it together.
And how to bring it together?
Well, and there's a cool factor to that as
right.
well, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, what kind of feedback have you gotten from your members on and how long have you been doing this?
Yeah, so we officially opened back in October.
Yeah.
So it's been open now for about 4 months.
Okay.
As I said, we do about 300 transactions a day that come through, two-thirds of which are non-members, a little over 3,000 a day in sales. So it's you know a pretty active.
It's paying for itself
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And we've got plans, three more in the works right
oh,
now.
Oh my gosh, Matt.
So it's been a big
what a great
of
idea.
Just how do we drive leads in a different way?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you're doing it for sure.
Yeah.
I want to get your response.
Oh, look,
on
we're,
this?
We're in all by it, right? These,
yeah.
This is the next generation of what this landscape of this industry looks like.
Yeah.
Right? How you diversify what the business lines you're working in. To us, that's exciting, right? That's something we want to be involved in, seeing his success, thinking about things that we are traditional in, the payment side, has a payment side, core side to what he's doing
mm-hmm.
in that model,
yeah.
is where we like love to go explore, have some expertise in that arena. But
yeah.
I think this is kind of next generation of what we're starting
really?
To see of this industry head towards is it's not your standard legacy traditional banking model anymore
right.
for survival purposes of this industry.
Yeah.
You gotta start thinking outside the box. And Matt's a great example of seeing some of that. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm thinking about the digital acceleration that we experienced during the pandemic. How we all rush to it and we don't have to be in person anymore, but this kind of brings the two together, I think, right?
Yeah.
So you're bringing, because since we can all be back together again, knock on wood, wherever that is, hopefully, so yeah, so and that kind of brings it all back together.
Right.
So you're mixing the digital, all these really cool back-end technology type stuff, and bring it to the forefront as well, and
yeah,
then having
the,
that physical
the
presence.
Thing, Mike, is, as a community financial, you think of credit unions in general, reality is we aren't going to compete in a technology-only landscape. I mean, we can't be better at driving technology than the big banks, the fintech
yeah.
world.
Yeah.
So we got to partner
yeah.
with fintechs
yeah.
the right way.
Yeah.
But we still have to find out where that value proposition lies.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's only technology, you won't win in only technology. We can't spend enough in capital
mm-hmm.
in order to compete in a technology-only
yeah. yeah.
landscape. So you have to blend it back. You still have to have a reason of why does someone want to engage with you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big aspect
yeah.
of what we look for is what's the reason someone would start that engagement?
Mm-hmm.
And can we control the journey that they go through with us different than just letting them kind of dictate it? Because in the past it was, we open the door, you need a traditional banking product, you just come to the same place.
Right.
And that's gone. Now I look at my phone and I can shop instantly
mm-hmm.
those different
mm-hmm.
aspects.
For just about anything these
yeah.
days, for sure.
Right.
So why did you guys decide on a coffee shop? I'm going to step way back here. Why
yeah.
a coffee shop, not, I don't know.
Right.
I'm trying to think of
yes.
another retail outlet.
Yeah,
but
so I think that was the original aspect when we started this journey was, how do you get someone to have a low barrier reason to entry with
mm-hmm.
you, right? And
mm-hmm.
you think about banking. The one thing that we came back to in banking is, it's a unique aspect that nobody tries a new bank. Right? You don't try out banking.
Yes.
It's not something you're
going
to walk down the street and go like, hey, look at they just built that financial institution.
Go in there and check it out.
I want to try their checking account today, right?
And so refund policy.
Right, yeah, so we started to look at what are the different retail aspects of where someone can have a low barrier of reason to try something. And
mm-hmm.
we looked at kind of the coffee shop side. Ironically, I all the way back in college helped an individual when he was opening up a run of coffee shops
yeah.
and watched how when you go into a new community, quickly folks will walk in the door and engage with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then the repeat ability to it. And the other part about coffee shops, it's kind of the new age library. It's a community
completely,
gathering.
Completely.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's what credit unions have been.
Yeah.
They've been that
yeah.
sense of a community, rather. It was our original sayings, or it was when we went to community. We've always been in the community charter. And so we looked at that of how do we find an aspect where individuals will engage.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start to come into things from there. And we can also do this really unique aspect. We looked at partnerships of how can we collect data? And so when everyone comes through the door, I know the transactional aspect of those 300
mm-hmm,
folks.
Mm-hmm,
almost everyone pays with a card today, so
yeah,
I'm able to gather information
you know
from the card
mm-hmm.
side. And then I can have that repeat aspect of how I can lead to the next step of things that they do.
Oh my gosh, how exciting.
Yeah.
So how do you market this?
Yeah.
So obviously social media, all that type of stuff, but how do you market, I guess, bringing in new members? How do you, how is that message?
You know, the aspect can go back. Everybody likes a new place to go from a restaurant or a coffee shop. I mean, it's something, there's excitement that builds, right? And that peer-to-peer marketing happens pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So we see on social media, the amount of likes, the amount of shares, however you can go from there. We actually started off the launch of the coffee house with what we called an influencer event. So we held a night event where we invited not really the traditional, you know, chamber and mayors. We actually looked for who had really large social media followings.
Good for you.
And invited them in and threw a relatively large party as a kickoff event at the coffee house. And I found that that's really gained traction of how we get people to grow. So, you know, a lot of people talk about a restaurant taking, you know, a long time to break even. You know, we found you can actually make profitability within that first month or two if you can get enough people coming to the door.
Sure.
It's volume. And so as we've been able to drive that, it just leads to now the ability to put up additional locations.
Oh my gosh, how cool is that? Jen, you're over there nodding your head. You're
so
excited.
No, I just think it's so great. I think it's a great example of sort of taking a fresh perspective on legacy banking. Mm-hmm. And we're just happy to be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of what we're trying to do in our strategic partnerships with our clients is how can they be thinking outside the box a little bit? And then how can we act as a resource? Either it's, you know, our team has talked to Matt's team on some of the payments integration pieces of it, right? So we're utilizing our 50 plus subject matter experts to support it. And then what's great is leveraging the network and the connections that we all have to just expand it and to say, hey, have you thought of something different? Matt's done this. Isn't this amazing? How could you, XYZ Credit Union, maybe think outside the box too?
Well, and I think the part about that that I look at more than anything is, unfortunately in our industry, a lot of our legacy providers struggle to, even as they look at fintech, we find a new fintech venture and they go, well, we'll just create a connection point to it, but it really isn't a seamless connection that you go through.
Yeah.
And so as we've looked at EngageFI, you know, with a long history on the payment side, and how do we build an app that allows us to have somebody go from, you know, I'm interested in a cup of coffee, to I actually might have an account with you, or can I use that, just like Starbucks, can I use that account in a way that I can fund easily, I can navigate from there. It's an area for us that I can't go through asking, you know, the traditional players in our industry of how can you create this. We've got to find ways to link that together, and so, you know, that's where we've asked EngageFI to help us of how can we build this in a way that we can, you know, have the app from a user experience connect pieces of technology that are new with some of the technology we need in the legacy model. We're still using the Fiservs of the world for how we run our transactions. From there, we have to connect that fintech world with the user experience into legacy, and that's something that, you know, we aren't going to have the expertise
So is that the great connector, that app?
Yeah, so it's
the coffee shop app, and then you can, and that's just a nice little segue into the credit union.
We're in the process of building right now, and that will be really our driver of how do we have that in between part of, go back to controlling the journey, right? Members aren't going to walk in and go, I see your bank branch, I want to walk in the door and I want to open an account. So we need somebody that can go from, you know, I really enjoy coming back here to the coffee house. How is it that I can just take the next step? And we're looking at this of, instead of us having, you know, our head of marketing made the best comment, I think, in this of, in banking, the issue we have, we ask people to marry us on the first date. You come in the door and we say, hey, open up a checking account, move your direct deposit, get an auto loan, get a credit card, get your mortgage with us. And, you know, that's not how consumers work today. And so how do we allow them to date us through a process on the app where I can become a loyalty member of the coffee house? Now I can open up a card with you. Now I can transfer $25 onto that to get a discount when I'm coming to the coffee house or get points. And I can step you through that over the course of 6 or 12 months to allow them to feel a little bit more comfortable of just doing one more thing with us versus just coming into everything.
Gosh, I keep thinking of Starbucks as the world's biggest bank, you know, because I don't know how much money I have on their little app. It's like 75 bucks or something like that. And it's just sitting there. And they're making money on that, right? So this is kind of along the same line.
And the unique part that we have is we're already in traditional payment rails. So instead of it being a Starbucks app that you can only use at Starbucks, if you're using your Vibrant card, you can use it at the coffee house. But you could also walk into Target and you could spend money on there just as well. So I can reward you in the same process.
Oh my gosh.
I think at the end of the day, something that he said is really important is all of the data that he has available, I feel like for so long people have just ignored, even in your traditional systems, they've ignored the access to the data. So we're seeing a lot of questions right now, and even some of the newer technology providers that are out there saying, okay, let's leverage this data and make decisions based on the data that you have, whether it's card data, payment, bill payment data, online banking usage. They could start there. You don't have to build a coffee shop. I mean, it's a cool idea. But I even think back to sort of like the indirect model, right, where people traditionally, credit unions would say, oh, come get an auto loan with us. But then it's been so hard to tap into that indirect member. It's sort of a similar model, right? But you're using the data to really reinforce the brand, which I think is
I would say you would argue probably the most valuable thing you're getting out of this is the data and the analysis of the data to make the decisions and understand what your members are doing and your customers, your consumers are buying and how are they trending, and you can make bigger, broader decisions because you analyze the data you have. And to Jen's point, this industry for a long time has not capitalized on the data that is so rich by all of these customers and members.
Well, and I think, Mike, the big part with that is in credit unions, we've always been the afterthought. Right? I mean, we're the thing that you don't actually want. Right? You don't want the auto loan, you want the car.
Yeah. Right.
Right? You do that, right? You don't want the mortgage, you want the house. You actually really don't want a checking account.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be able to buy things.
Right.
And so we're the thing that just comes along that you really don't want. In fact, most people celebrate when they pay off their mortgage, right? So they're celebrating the end of our relationship in the process. And so when we think about
Matt, you are turning this industry on its
head. Our heads are exploding.
Your tagline is now going to be, we're the thing that nobody wants.
Right.
So
I might put that in the headline.
Yeah.
And
so
the thing that we have to figure out is, how do we actually become the thing or the reason that they engage with in the beginning?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's something we've struggled with for years of. Indirect lending is something where we're still the tag along. They go to the dealership to buy the car, and then they get the loan that we've kind of brokered out through that process. We have to figure out how to be on the front end. Where when they think about the relationship, we're actually the positive in it, not the thing that just comes with it.
Oh my gosh.
Exciting.
Cool.
Well, I mean, there's so much more to this than just a coffee shop.
Yeah, no question.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is just that's just the super official part of it, or the surface level of it.
Yeah.
There's a cool lot underneath people that engage, right? But that's not the point. The point of it is, how do I actually build the app or build an experience that you want to engage with?
Exactly.
Right? The coffee shop is just the reason you would start that.
Yeah.
Process.
Yeah. That old cheer syndrome. Right. Everyone knows your name. So.
Now, I was going to say, Anders? For us, right, we still have an 80-20 rule, right? 80% of where we focus in is really on our domain expertise, digital expertise, cards, payments, core, conversions, mergers, is what we do well.
Right.
But for us, that 20% of supporting clients like that, where they're really driving the industry to a whole other layer, right? You can sit in this conversation, we can have this for 3 hours, like I do on a regular occasion with Matt, of exploring how far can you take a model like this? What's the true benefits? It's mind-boggling, right? So for us, selfishly, look, we're so proud of what he's doing. We want to be attached to it. We want to partner with
it. We want to be in the conversation.
We want to be in the conversation.
Of course.
So that's great. Right.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder there, because my next question is like, what's next?
Right.
What's next for you guys with this?
Yeah, well, I think there's two parts of this, right? So one, we've got to control how we can build and grow those relationships as a lead source through opening things up. I think the challenge that you have in any of this, and I use the analogy a lot of, think of like flying an airplane and going down the runway. The challenge this industry faces is focusing on the traditional things that we've done is like extending the runway.
Okay.
But we all realize the business has to change.
Yeah.
And so at some point, the airplane has to get off the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how much do you put effort into changing the business model, getting the airplane to get off the ground, with still enough that gives you runway that's out there?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, go back to the 80-20 that Andre's talked about, we still need them involved in helping us extend the runway, which means, how do we navigate legacy contracts? How do we navigate things from there? Because you need that in order to have time to go through this change. And I think that's a part of where we're focused is, how long can you build both models? Because in the end, I think it's where credit unions have to decide.
Completely.
Are we going to be someone that's trying to extend the runway, which arguably we've known for years is scale, right? That's the merger acquisition game, and you have to figure out how to build scale. That's not right or wrong.
Yeah.
That's just the legacy model. Or are you going to change the business model in order to survive in the way in which consumers want to do business today? And we're really focused on, how do we get the plane off the ground, but making sure that we have enough runway in order to do that.
Yeah, ooh, a lot of work still to be done, though.
Yeah,
very exciting stuff. Anything else to add from the Engage FI folks?
No, just appreciate it. We're happy to be here. As
right
always.
On. I'm happy to have you here as well.
Always. Thanks, Mike. It's always great to see you.
Matt, what are you running for president?
Yeah, I got my vote.
Got
my vote. Yeah. might want to check out
the podcast. Great.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, this was so cool. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get it out there. It sounds like you're setting the template for greater things to come, and even for other credit unions as well to kind of emulate as well.
And think about the employee experience, employee engagement.
Oh, my gosh. How much fun is that?
Some really great stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, guys.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise.
That's great.
Well done, guys.
Thanks.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.